In the next half an hour, we're taking a drive into the future of car travel, including asking what needs to change to keep cars on the roads in the years ahead.
And first up, emissions. If you've got a car, the chances are it runs on a fossil fuel like petrol or diesel. And worldwide, cars are a leading source of greenhouse gas emissions. So how far are we from a carbon neutral car? And are greener alternatives practical and affordable? Richard Black directs the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, a London-based think tank. So Richard, how much do cars currently impact the environment?
Yeah, you've got two separate issues really with cars. One is air pollution and the other is climate change. So on the air pollution side in the UK, it's estimated that air pollution causes about 40,000 premature deaths each year. But really that's only part of the impact because there were studies coming out last year, for example, that showing the particulates, part of the air pollution can actually go across the placenta from a pregnant woman to the baby, for example. There are also studies showing impacts on dementia. So there's a health impact apart from those premature deaths caused. So that's air pollution. That's nitrogen dioxide and particulate matter, tiny particles of soot, essentially. On the climate change side, transport is responsible for just over a quarter of the UK's greenhouse gas emissions. It's actually the biggest sector now, and it's the only sector where emissions are not falling. So there's a big issue there.
So what are the alternatives then? If you want a car and you don't want a petrol or a diesel...
And you don't want a bicycle, which is my favourite means of transport and making up for all those cakes that we've all been eating over the last few weeks. If you'd asked this question 10 years ago, there were really three separate technologies in the running. You had biofuels, electric and hydrogen. And I think there's no doubt that electrics are winning. That's where manufacturers are putting their resources, most manufacturers anyway. There are now something like 3 million electric cars on the road worldwide. In the UK, less than 1% of the overall car fleet is electric or hydrogen, but that's increasing. So last year, about 1 in 30 cars bought in the UK was a plug-in model. So it's either pure electric or a plug-in hybrid.
Are they affordable? How much does it cost?
Yeah, so last year, moneysupermarket.com did a little study on this, and they compared the lifetime cost, so that's buying plus running, of an electric, a petrol, and a diesel. And they consider that on that basis, electric cars are already cost competitive because, yes, it costs more to buy, but actually your running costs are lower because your fuel costs are lower and your maintenance costs are much lower. Deloitte's had a survey out just last week suggesting that even on purchase price alone, we can expect there to be cost competitive within 2 or 3 years.
Okay, so ballpark figure, if you were to buy an electric car now, how much are you shelling out?
It entirely depends what model you want to buy. I mean, you've got your Teslas, which are, you know, tens of thousands of pounds as you want to. But it's equally worth pointing out that what cars, Car of the Year award last week went to a very economy model. It's the Kia e-Niro, which is a small car. One of the other issues that they addressed in their award is the range. You know, the idea is that the electric cars don't go on forever. They reckon that the Kia e-Niro range is more than 250 miles.
So are electric cars actually greener? Can we decide where we get the electricity from to put in the car?
So there have been a number of studies on this, and really you've got to take it from cradle to grave, from manufacturer through running to disposal. There was a study on this that came out last year, for example, from the European Climate Foundation, which looked in different European countries and asked the question now, is it greener than a petrol or diesel model? And the answer in every case was yes. Now, it depends where you are. So in France, for example, virtually all of the electricity is low carbon. It's nuclear or renewable. So if you drive a car in France and you drive the same car in the UK, it's going to be greener in France than in the UK. But in the UK, we're already getting more than half of our electricity from zero carbon sources, renewables and nuclear put together. So the situation is that all the studies show that it's going to get better because as electricity gets greener, obviously the greenness of your driving and also manufacturers are starting to get greener with things. So more and more steel, for example, is being recycled. So you're reducing emissions from that, for example.
So are there any hurdles then to get zero emissions cars on the roads?
Well, I mean, I think one of them is just what are people used to, you know? If you've always bought a petrol car, that's probably what you're going to do. Range is still an issue if you're in rural areas or if you're in an area that doesn't have very many charging stations. So up and down the UK, there are something like 200,000 electric cars on the road now, but only about a tenth as many charging stations. So depending on where you are, I mean, you'll have one at home as well, but, you know, depending on what your habits are. So that's an issue. And I think there's no massive supply side constraints. There obviously will be a finite supply of some of the materials like lithium that are used in batteries. But then again, the mining industry always explores more when demand increases. So, and also there are alternative ways of making batteries that are coming on. So you can't see immediate constraints from that point of view.
Just going back to the point you're making about range, there is this concept of range anxiety here. People being really worried, how am I actually going to be able to get to the next junction on the motorway?
Yeah, that's right. But the range is increasing all the time. And of course, you know, I've been in a car and I've run out of petrol. So it's not something that's unique to electric cars.
What about safety? Because electric cars can be super quiet, which is lovely on the one hand, but can it be a bit of a safety issue?
Yeah, I had a personal one with this about a month or 6 weeks ago when I just sort of didn't look, stepped out into the lane just in the bus station near where I live and nearly got taken out by an electric taxi. I just hadn't looked. So in one sense, it's my own fault, right? But no, there is an issue here. This has been something that's flagged up in the US as well. Experts estimate that you are statistically more likely, particularly if you're sight impaired or something like this, to have the risk of collision from an electric vehicle. But the European Commission is on top of this in Europe. So within 2 years, basically all electric cars are going to have some sort of alarm fitted, which is going to have to work, particularly when you're at low speeds. Now, when you think about it, it's actually an opportunity to do something quite good, because petrol or diesel cars, you're left with whatever noise they produce. With an electric car, you can think about what sort of noise is actually going to be the best one to use. So can you, for example, have a noise that tells you more accurately which direction the vehicle is coming from? Yes, you can.
So you might even be able to personalise the noise your car makes in the future.
Oh my
gosh, knows?
Think of ringtones, right? I'm not sure we want to go there, do we?
Well, I have to leave it there for now. Richard Black from the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, thank you very much.